Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the Catstastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have a special guest. She starred as Bumble Arena in the 2016 Broadway revival of Cats. Welcome, Christine Cornish-Smith, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So I want to start with, before you decided to join the cast, how familiar were you with Cats the Musical?
I was as familiar as a girl in musical theater who's, you know, heard of Cats, but I was by no means a Cats person.
Not a fan?
No.
Okay, have you seen it before?
I had seen the VHS, and I saw it on tour when I was, I think I was 8, and I don't share this, but I fell asleep.
A cat didn't like attack you mid-show?
Well, I was way up in the balcony.
No, they come into the balcony too, I thought.
Yeah, I know. They do, actually. I went to the balcony, but yeah, so I have never shared that because I'm so ashamed.
I have big issues with parents bringing children to the show.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, and because there's not, when you're a small child, you know, you don't have a lot to grasp onto. If you're way far in the back, you know, it's hard to follow it. So I definitely did
fall asleep. It's hard to follow it as an adult.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to follow in general.
Yes.
But it is a little, it's a lot.
A lot is the correct word. Yes.
Okay, so you became Bumble Arena, who I don't actually have an episode for. So
How
I want
dare
to.
You?
I
know, right? She is so offended right now, but it's fine.
It's because I don't want Taylor Swift coming after me.
Yeah.
And so I want to, how would you describe her?
I would describe her as, she is fiery, generous, and confident. Yeah. Many other things. She's sort of seen it all, and I think she does have a more mature, motherly presence. But she's also promiscuous, and you know, she's been around the block a couple times. So yeah.
No, because she's one of the adult cats, right? I didn't even realize that there were cats, kittens, all these different parts to this. There's
very
way more.
Important.
Yeah, so she's one of the adults. So basically, she's. But that's where we get really confusing. What's the relationship with Demeter? Mom, sister?
A sister, best friend.
Okay.
You know, and I think she's older and she sort of looks out for Demeter.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of her troubled friend that, you know, she has to calm down. She has to, you know, park therapist.
Yeah.
You know, all those things.
So we'll get into that main song. But I want to hear, like, what kind of training your character is in multiple songs and multiple dances. How, you know, what was that like? How'd you prepare for that? especially since, I mean, you did a ton in this play.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a dream role for me because there's very few shows where you can truly dance, truly sing, and truly act, you know, to kind of the peak of all three of those categories. So it was very exciting for me. But yeah, I mean, I probably was in the best shape of my life because you're crawling, moving nonstop for over 2 hours. So it's intense and you're singing while you're jumping and dancing. And so it's very demanding, but also very fulfilling.
And so leading into getting the role, did you watch previous performances besides the VHS tape? Or did you come in and want to kind of do your own thing completely?
It was sort of, I'd say 50-50. I wanted to be informed about, you know, I read the T.S. Eliot poems. I tried to sort of take it out of the context of Cats, the musical, and try to do things like anytime I saw an actual cat, just like really observe it and, you know, and then read the poems and read up a little bit about Andrew Lloyd Webber and the making of it and, you know, all of those things and sort of really learn about the bare bones of it so that I could breathe my own life into it, you know, and I think because we were doing a revival and because I got to sort of originate the revival version, I wanted it to be my own. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who have not seen the show and they're preparing this for the movie.
Yes.
So how would you explain the show to an outsider? Especially since you did research with actual cats.
Yes. I always say that Cats is about community, bottom line, and it's about how we come together to survive. And I think that it has withstood the test of time and became such a big hit because it is so universal and it's so relatable, actually, even though it seems like it's not. But each cat has a different personality, and it's sort of, to me, like a dilation or expansion of the human inside of that cat. Yeah. Like, for instance, like Demeter, she's anxious and kind of has like a schizophrenic sort of energy, or, you know, kind of overly pent up energy. And she can just express that in the fullest form. Whereas if you're a human and you're anxious, you can't like twitch and do this and go, you know what I mean? But, that's just the anxious person that is stressed out about work that I just saw across the street in this other form, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. So you say it's about survival, but we're going to celebrate the one cat that dies at the end?
I mean, to me, it's sort of, it's like, you know, when someone goes to heaven and they're blessed. And yeah, I think that is more, I always saw it as symbolic. I'm like, does she really die or does she just go on to the next layer, you know, the next life?
To be reborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask a few questions about your character.
Okay.
In particular. So you sing McCavity song.
Yes.
What's your take on McCavity first?
I think that McCavity, the cat.
The cat, not the actors.
Yeah.
We're talking purely about.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know the cat. Song or the cat.
Oh, no. I love I love the song. I hate the cat.
Same. Well, no, I actually don't. It's a complicated relationship. I think that she has a very close relationship with McCavity, and she knows more about his whereabouts than any other cat. I think she's been burned by him. I think she was in a very sort of abusive and messed up relationship with this cat.
Yeah. So that's my question. I felt the same way with both your character and Demeter was in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden McCavity leaves and you sing this overly sexualized song about him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the thing that's like messed up about it is it's like, she, as I think some people can relate to in a twisted way, it's like, why do we love watching horror films? Or why do we, there's a thrill that's associated with it. You know, it's like, as much as this relationship was dark and scarring and all of these things, there's a reason why she entered into it, because it was thrilling and it was sexy and it was all of those things. So it's sort of them, you know, leaning into that, like, oh, so terrible, but this is why, you know.
It gives off a little 50 Shades of Grey vibe.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yes. There's some BDSM happening. There's a lot of things occurring. But I think it, with Demeter, it sort of scarred her and really frazzled her. Whereas with Bomb, she has been through a lot of stuff. So it sort of didn't phase her as much.
So how do you believe the relationship between Bomb and Grisabella? Because there was a couple different conflicting rumors on it.
Yeah, I think that she has empathy for Grisabella and she feels for Gris because she was almost Gris. I think she was like one step away from sort of turning to the dark side and one, you know, line of cocaine away or like whatever. You know, she kind of almost turned to there. So I think she wants to protect the younger cats from her, and not as much in a judgmental way, but just in a, you know, you really don't want to go down that road. Mm. And
so there's a rumor that Gris is actually your character's mom and abandoned you.
Oh.
So what is your take on that?
I never heard that.
Yeah.
That is, that's what I'm here interesting.
For. I'm here to dig up the rumors for, honestly, for all the people.
It's very exciting to revisit all this. Yeah, I've never heard that one. That could make sense, though. Yeah. Man, I'm trying to articulate my thoughts on that because I've never heard that.
Never heard it. So clearly it's not true.
Wow.
Or it's not been a note given to you.
Yeah, it was never a note given from like Andrew Lloyd Webber himself or something. Yeah. But
Did he give a lot of notes about the backstory and the family tree of cats?
He sort of popped up a couple times during rehearsals and a few times during previews here and there, but he wasn't super embedded in our process. Like Gillian Lynn, may she rest, you know, amazing woman. She was there for like the first 3 days. And then, they sort of came in and out of the process. So they weren't super involved. Trevor Nunn though was heavily involved as our director. But yeah, he never told me that.
Nothing. Okay.
Wow.
What about the relationship with Rumtug Tugger?
Oh, I think they're just like the classic on again, off again. That's like the lighter version of her relationship with McCavity. With McCavity, mm-hmm. it was like that on and off again, but in a dark, not healthy way. With Tugger, it's fiery, it's playful, it's kind of messed up, but not in a... as abusive way, I think.
So, and I'm basing this off of the movie, mm-hmm. the VHS, because that's what I'm working off of with YouTube, because my memory is not that strong for the two times I've seen this. But your character and Tugger's song in that movie is on the ground when he does his patented crotch thrusts.
Yes.
And
indeed. Yes.
I'm wondering, was there ever any rehearsal, like, over-enthusiastic crotch thrust that had accidents here? Like, it's a very traumatic, like, over-the-top part of this show.
Yes. Well, that was one of the numbers that Andy Blankenbuehler sort of reimagined. So that part actually didn't happen in New York. In the revival. And a lot of things were changed. That whole number was very different than the VHS.
Well, actually, they had to bring it back from the wrapping Street Cat.
Right,
so
yeah.
So they had to redo some stuff.
They made our revival Tugger was the classic.
Yeah,
the Terrence Mann. Yes. That I think they learned from the rapping Tugger.
from the 1 or 2 years it went. It ran.
Right.
So you didn't have any issues in your song then when in the New York version?
No. But I mean, that was one of my favorite numbers. And Tyler Haynes, who played Rumtum Tugger, is like one of my favorite humans, and you know, he just did such a great job in the show, and we had the best time. I mean, we were just so perverted and so sexual, but in like the best way. We had a great time.
How do you feel about the fact that there's rumors that Tugger and Mr. Mistopheles are together?
I think that that sounds like that could have happened realistically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are even lyrics like Rum Tum Tugger is a curious beast. Rum Tum Tugger, you know, I think Rum Tum Tugger is bisexual.
Yeah.
For sure. And Mistopheles is gay. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the movie, he pulls out a rainbow scarf out of a cup, you know, as part of his magic.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Rum Tum Tugger, 50-50, Mistopheles probably mostly sees male cats.
Yeah.
But who knows?
So you're part of that triangle, basically, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you could, since you know the musical, who was your, taking your character out of it, who was your favorite cat and who was your least favorite cat? Not actors, characters.
Okay.
Yeah, please don't say actors.
Yeah, that would be a pretty
that's a rough question.
Like, I mean, man, I loved Bomb Ballerina just because I always was attracted to her. Let's see, favorite cat, the white cat, beautiful, probably my favorite, and then maybe my least favorite. Oh, that's very hard. I have a special place in my heart for all the cats.
It's Peter. The answer is Peter.
Peter. Oh, is that Gus's first?
I don't even know who it is. And I don't know why they named a cat Peter.
Peter.
It was added for something to do with Gus.
I think that was, so both Gus and was there one other are in the, and Old Deuteronomy are in the opening number as other cats.
Yes.
So that Peter.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not a big fan of Peter because I never really met him or talked to him.
I want to know who named him.
Unclear.
Because of all the other names, who was just like, oh, we need a new cat. We're just going to call him Peter.
Yeah. It's like they kind of pulled that out of nowhere. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah.
It's lazy. It's lazy Peter. Writing.
Right? I know. It's like all these characters. So interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Coricopat, Tantamile, Bombalurina. Peter.
Yeah.
Like.
Exactly.
Okay. You know.
Someone just gave up.
Someone definitely gave up and, you know, shame on them. But, you know, Peter still lives. He lives on. He lives in you. He lives in me.
So have you seen the movie trailer and what's your take on the movie? Oh, are you excited? Man. Are you nervous? Are you happy?
Okay. Let's see. I'm excited. I'm trying to go into it with an open heart and open mind. And, you know, I think that it's great that a new generation can have the same amount of confusion about cats as probably the, you know, children of the 80s and the children of the 90s did for this musical. I think it is hard because I was, you know, that was my life for so long doing the show. You know, you naturally get really attached to a certain design, a certain style, and a certain, you know, like I fell in love with Tyler's Rum Tum Tugger. So it's so hard for me to see anyone else in it. Not because anyone else would be not amazing, just because I was so used to seeing Tyler, you know. So there's biases. I do wish that their bodies looked weird. It kind of was scary. My first impression was I feel scared. So that was my first impression. And then I was like, their tails were weird and I wanted their costumes to have more like shape.
The tails and noses got the most issues.
They
on, like,
needed a nose. Like was Jennifer Hudson's nose?
And then Christopher Gurr, because I had him on for an episode, he was mad that they had dialogue. Because you weren't allowed to speak.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So he saw that in the trailer and he immediately was mad at that.
Right.
So he's cheating.
Yeah. Cheater pumpkin eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I don't want to say too much until I see it. And I'm probably going to have to see it twice to really.
At least.
Yes. Maybe even 3 to 4, 5, 6 times.
Yeah.
It'll be an experience.
So before I get to my final question, which is like my thesis of this whole podcast, but I do want to know, What are you up to now? Where can we see you? What are you doing?
Yes. Right now, so I just closed Kiss Me Kate, actually right across the street, not that long ago in the summer. And I've just been doing like little gigs here and there. So I worked on a little segment for John Oliver, that TV show, which was super fun. And just kind of doing a bunch of little things right now, teaching and concerts and stuff like that. And but I don't have like another sort of the next like big gig yet. I'm trying to be strategic about my next move, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Just living the life.
Now I got to get to my final question.
Okay. Can't wait. Here we go.
The real question, which is, I have spent multiple episodes arguing that Grizabella was the wrong cat to die at the end of the play. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is the right cat to die? Could be your character, or do you think it should be Grizabella? And then I want to hear why.
I should have known you were going to ask this question. So how dare I come in so ill-prepared? I think that it could be any of the adult cats. Any cat that has, I think, not that I think Jenny Anydots should die.
It's a good thing though. Like this is
a, it's a good thing.
The death is I call it victory because I look at this like it's a competition show.
Yeah. I think if it weren't Grizabella, either Jenny Anydots or Gus, yeah, it would probably be one of those two. One of the cats that I feel has lived their life and given back. You know, I feel like you sort of have your stages of life where like you're growing up and then you're really selfish and then you sort of flip it and then you have kids and so then you're selfless and then a cat that has gone through the stages of life. So it would be either Gus or Jenny Anydots.
Okay. There's a big team Gus out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, how much longer is this cat going to be? Did Gurr say?
He said that he thought that his cat didn't have another life to live. And so his ending was like the end. And so he took himself out of the running.
Yeah.
That was his interpretation.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Right? And I think Grizabella does have another life to live.
Absolutely.
A new life has begun.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm still not in that camp.
Who do you think should die?
Well, you have to listen.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh
my That's God. The whole point. And if this was the last episode, I would tell, but you know, I've got a couple episodes after this.
Okay, I gotta tune in.
Gotta
subscribe.
But I think there are some front runners.
Okay. I look forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big personally, well, I've become to love McCavity's song and whole everything about it. Mm-hmm. But he can't be the one to win. So I'm a big Rum Tug Tugger, Mr. Mistopheles fans. I loved Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer's song. And then the whole dance, the dual cartwheel. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine how many children got hurt trying that.
And on a ramp.
Yeah.
Like, those two, I think those two have the hardest track in the show.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
It's also one of the hardest to get out of your head when it's stuck in your head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. No, thank you. Amazing. Well,
thank you so much for being here. How can we find you on social media?
Instagram at Christine Cornish.
Perfect.
That's it.
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks. And listeners, thank you for listening to this bonus episode with Christine Cornish-Smith on The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.